This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Who's behind that cool, crazy guitar solo? Here's a hint. He's more than human. March, as he called, has 78 fingers. He's the guitarist for Z Machines. That's an all-robot band created by engineers at the University of Tokyo. The human side of that performance is a person who wrote that tune. It was composed by electronic musician Tom Jenkinson, better known as Square Pusher. For almost two decades, Square Pusher has blurred the line between man and machine in his music. That track you just heard is from his new EP, Music for Robots. It's a collaboration with robot band Z Machines. And if you've ever wondered what a robot gig would sound like, well, this is it. What's it like to write music for a robot band? Square Pusher is on the line to explain. Tom Jenkinson joins us. Welcome to Science Friday, Tom.
Hello, thanks. Hi.
How did Music for Robots come about?
Well, the people you just mentioned, the engineers who built the Z Machines, were keen to get me involved to write a single piece of music. That was the initial outing for their project, which was basically for these musicians, the robot musicians, to do some shows in Japan. So they wanted a piece from me.
Describe for us what the robot machine band looks like. Do they look like robots? Do they look like people on stage?
Yeah, there is a sort of anthropomorphic side to them. The guitar robot is like this monster 10-foot high thing, plays two guitars at the same time, wobbles its head around with some dreads that are made from network cables, which is quite funny. The drummer is a giant octopus-like creature, but with many more arms. I think it's 21 or 23 or something. And the keyboard player plays keyboard with with laser. So, what more do you want? Once you've got that, once I heard of it, I thought, well, this is something I have to do. There's very little about these things which sort of correspond to the way in which human beings normally go about things.
And that would seem to be the challenge. How do you get a robot band to sound like humans playing the music? Or is that really not the aim of this?
Well, it's... Let me put it like this, that there are any number of things that I'm interested in this project. The first and foremost one is, can these machines be made to do something which we actually want to listen to? And when I say that, I mean it's got to go beyond the gimmick value of these compositions being performed by robots, because no doubt some people be interested in this project. Nothing to do with me, but they'll be interested to hear what robot musicians sound like. And my aim is to make sure that those things play music that people will actually find interesting and compelling. Of course, there's no way of guaranteeing that in everybody, but simply put, I'd say that's the key aim, is to try to make this something that someone might find emotionally compelling. Mm-hmm. And as I say, that's what I've tried to do, not only with these robots, but that's what I've tried to do over the years using drum machines, samplers, all these basically inert bits of kit that if you just flick them on and use the presets, they sound totally boring, totally cardboard. And that's always been my aim, is to try to inject life into these devices.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about another piece that you have here, and we're going to play that, and let's listen to it a little bit. And as it plays through, tell me how this either works up to your standards or what's lacking or how this did work. This is the song, Sad Robot Goes Funny.
That part is, just the guitarist playing a motif involving just the first three strings of his guitar. Part of the idea of this piece was to investigate polyphony, and that's one of the less obvious capacities of these robots, that they have complete independence of what they do on one string in relation to another. And that means that, unlike a human being, you can get these robots to play independent melody lines on each string. To my reckoning, to play this effectively using human formers, you probably have to have four people doing it.
Does it actually fulfill the emotional part that you're going for?
You see, this is immediately we come a cropper on the subjective element of music appreciation. For me, yes. And if you turn around to me and say, "Well, it doesn't do anything to me," I've got nothing. I've got no comeback. You know, it works or it doesn't. But I think if it works for somebody, that's already proven my point.
So you think this was successful? I thought it was. I thought it had a feeling to it, but I guess there are nuances, right, that only people can do to instruments that your robots can't do yet.
Well, that's an interesting point. Again, you see, I'm of the mind that lots of those nuances that we associate with guitar playing are actually a limit, and they stereotype the approach to the instrument and guide what guitarists think they should do with the instrument. And I'm actually quite happy to throw all of those things away, regardless whether it's a robot playing it or myself. For example, anyone who's followed my work over the years will notice I'm a very sparing in the usage of vibrato on guitars, and that's because I find it utterly overused in the world of guitar music. I think it's a sort of gesture which has an immediate, ready set of interpretations associated with it, but I'm not concerned with trying to repeat those. I'm trying to explore new areas, and that involves getting away from old ones.
In addition to writing electronic music, you're a virtuoso bass player.
Does virtuosity
matter?
I'm certainly a bass player. The virtuoso side, that again,
that's subjective.
But anyway, yeah.
Well, we'll take that for face value. Does virtuosity matter now that we can have computers or robots make whatever sounds we want them to do?
It's a very interesting point. I mean, one of the questions that this project throws up is it's going to make it much more difficult to import certain kinds of music assessment into the project. So, you know, you'll often hear people talking about a musician's performance as being touching or aggressive, egotistical, sensitive. All these terms are to do with human character, human attributes. And none of those really can be applied to this because it's a machine. It has none of those attributes. It just is a set of servo motors, electronic components. They can't be sensitive. They're inanimate.
So we need. So you're saying we need not to judge them as if they were human.
Well, you see, this is it. You see, some people will look for that. Some people will look for those trademark human forms of expression. But remember, I mean, I'm thinking that lots of those trademark human forms of expression are actually straitjackets. They're actually cliches. But still, if a human being plays in an athletic way, then it's natural to think of that as more impressive, whether you like it or not, of course. It's impressive because it's someone struggling against their physical limitations.
Yeah.
The only physical limitations that robots face are the ones which were imposed by the budget when they were built. And if you can imagine a bigger budget, you can imagine a better robot. Because human beings are stuck with their physiology. They're stuck with their, you know, quite literally, their amount of fingers. In the end, I suppose I just look at it that a sampler, a sequencer, a robot, human performer, each thing has its good and its bad.
Right.
Each thing has its attributes, which make it appropriate or not appropriate to a given composition.
But, you know, that's true of all the computerized things and of computers themselves. We know they can do things a lot better, faster, smarter in certain senses than we can, right? But what we also know is that they're not human.
Yes.
And that humans have their own quality of performance or brain
they
power.
Do. I think part of the problem is actually contextual. When you furnish someone with the information about how it's done, suddenly that their opinion will change. For example, I've played this to some listeners without telling them that robots performed it, and they go, "Who is that guitarist? It's absolutely insane." And what's interesting is that they don't listen to it and go, "That's clearly not a human being." They just go, "That's a human being. That's ridiculous." And then I go, "Well, it's a robot." And then at that point, they think, "Ah, so it's cheating then. It's kind of fake." And that, for me, is really interesting. For me, it's not cheating. It's just another way of doing it.
Yeah.
But for some people, possibly most people, look for the human performer in music. They look for the human. Because music, to a lot of people, and to a certain extent myself, is a form of emotional connection between people. And once you say there are machines involved, it sours that sense of emotional connection. But I still think you can connect through machines.
Mm-hmm.
I think that these robots have actually allowed me quite a clear path to voice my compositions.
Do you consider them as instruments themselves?
Well,
or
well, it's hard not to, because the instrument is built into the device.
I mean,
for me, it's a guitar which plays itself. That's the way I see it.
When you write music for the robots, is it very much an experimental process to see the limit that you can push them to and the quality that will come out of it?
Yeah, precisely. Part of the project was establishing what the degrees of freedom were on these instruments. Actually, there are parts of the piece that you just played where I'm actually deliberately pushing the guitar robot into territory where it cannot play consistently anymore. It's beginning to struggle to deliver the notes on time. The note-to-note data is generated by equations rather than straight out of my imagination. So I've set up some equations which are generating streams of notes, and that's what they're playing to. But then I'm cranking up the speed at which the generation of those notes is occurring and moving it past the point where the robot, as I say, can play it consistently, which gives rise to another kind of sound. It's like the sound of things breaking up, things distorting, things giving way, and basically the sound of destruction. As much as I'm into being creative, I'm also into being destructive. I like the sounds of things when they're being pushed beyond the limits, when they're actually pushed into a overload condition, if you like.
You're not going to have your robots on stage smash their guitars then?
Well, unfortunately, I'm not going to have them on stage at all. As far as I understand it, they've already been dismantled.
Uh-huh. No
so
kidding.
So there was a sort of a strict time limit on getting these compositions delivered, because storage costs for these things are just vast, and maintenance costs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, you know, it's not really, as much as they display these superhuman capacities, they also are extremely cumbersome. You know, it's like the Daleks in Doctor Who. They take over the universe, but they're not able to go upstairs.
Yes.
These kind of funny things, really. It's a curiosity.
It is a curiosity, and one of the things that people complain about electronic music shows is that they aren't very fun to watch, but there's not much to see. But this robot band sort of solves that, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's a very good point, because when you have a show, part of what engages people is watching the performer, and if it's a guy checking, you know, just in front of his laptop, who knows, he could just be looking at his emails. I mean, I actually think that I saw that once.
Really?
Which is quite funny. I mean, it's quite punk in a way, isn't it? But I'm not sure if it's good or it's bad. It's quite funny.
I'm Ira Flatow, and this is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. So what do you see as your ultimate goal here? Or what envelope are you trying to push and experiment with when you write music here?
I think the first and foremost thing, that the final and most all-encompassing criterion I have for my music is that it has an effect which is not just simply an intellectual effect. It's not simply being impressed with technical specifications. Who cares about notes per second at the end of the day? Who cares how complicated it is or how simple it is? The things which really matter to me is that it speaks to my emotions. It can't be conceptualized. It's simply an experience. Mm. And if music is giving that to me, then it has worth. If it doesn't, it's worth nothing. Mm. Beyond that, it is then moving into, well, what musical possibilities do these things permit? I'm always trying to investigate whether, you know, what can be done with this instrument. Some instruments keep going. Some instruments, I just get bored of them. I don't know which way, you know, I haven't had time to get bored of the robots because I've, you know, as I say, it's been, the project has been limited in the amount of time I've been able to spend working on it. So mm-hmm. I certainly love to make more music with it.
So you're not interested then, if I'm hearing you correctly, with scientists who are working on computers that compose their own music?
Mm. No, I'm interested,
you're interested
in that, sure. In fact, I've done some things like that myself.
Yeah. Tell us.
That's very interesting, but I think even though the computer is composing, it's sensible to remember that a human being designed that software. So even though the computer ostensibly makes the composition, still it was a human being that designed the algorithm which then makes the composition. So, okay, that the human hand is not present in the moment of composition, but it recedes back a stage, at which level it's actually still of critical importance because it's set up the way in which the algorithm mm-hmm. behaves.
Well, we want to thank you for taking time to be with us today, Tom. And good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Tom Jenkinson is the electronic musician, Square Pusher. His new EP is Music for Robots. It's out now. You can see a video of the Z Machines playing the song Sad Robot Goes Funny on our website, and you can hear the rest of our conversation there, too. Go to sciencefriday.com/musicforrobots. It's really interesting music. You only heard part of it. You can hear a lot more of it on his album and at our website.